In Exodus, the 33rd chapter and the 18th verse, Moses said to God, "Let me see your glory." You know what he was saying? All right, big guy, prove yourself. Now, people are afraid to talk to God. How many know that Abraham was called a friend of God? He was called a friend of God, and this is what Moses was saying. He's saying, "Lord, I want to see your glory. I want you to prove yourself." And he said, "I will make my goodness pass before thee," in the 19th verse. "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy." You know what God is saying? Don't you go around and saying, "I wonder why that one is blessed." God says, "I do the choosing." How's it reading the Living Bible, Kevin, in Exodus, the 33rd chapter and the 19th verse?
"The Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will announce to you the meaning of my name, Jehovah. The Lord, I show kindness and mercy to anyone I want to."
I show kindness and mercy to who I want. Don't you choose your friends? Do you choose your friends? Well, God is saying, "I choose my friends." You see, what you have tonight is not for everybody. This message tonight is not for everyone. Because God is saying what, Kevin?
He said, "I show kindness and mercy to anyone I want to."
Anyone he wants to. It's his choice. And then what did he say?
"But you may not see the glory of my face, for man may not see me and live. However, stand here on this rock beside me."
He said what?
He said, "Stand here on this rock."
You see, if you want the revelation, you have to have a foundation. I said, if you want a revelation, the Lord didn't say stand on the desert sand. He said, "I'm going to give you a revelation," but he told him to stand where, Kevin?
"Stand here on the rock."
He said, "Stand where?"
"On the rock."
"On the rock." And Jesus said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, he said, "A wise man..." And we have wise people here tonight. He said, "A wise man that hears my word builds his house upon a rock." Did the Lord tell Moses, "I'm going to give you a revelation, you're going to see my glory"? But he said, "Stand where?" Where did he tell him to stand?
On the rock.
In other words, you got to have a foundation in order to receive from God. This is why many are not blessed. They think going to church is the answer. You can put a Volkswagen in a garage, but when you back it out, it don't make it a Rolls Royce. A lot of people just have tradition that is taught to them, or the doctrines of a church, but they don't have the truth from the Word of God. So Moses, "I'm going to show you glory, but you're going to have to stand on the rock. You need a foundation in order to receive." And Jesus says the same thing in Matthew, in the 7th chapter. He said, "The ones that hear these sayings of mine and do with them, I will like unto him a wise man which built his house on a rock." It's one thing to hear, but you need a foundation. All right? So he goes on to say here, "And the rains descended, the floods came, the police were knocking on the front door, the bill collectors on the back door, come on, telephone was ringing, and someone was trying to sell me something." I said, wherever you turn, you know, something is happening. The rains are going to come. And it said, "The winds are going to blow and beat upon the house," but it didn't fall because that house was built on a rock. You see, Moses, stand on the rock and I will give you a revelation. That's why The Lord said, start school of the prophets. Because we are living in the day where the wind is blowing, where the storms are coming, and it's not going to get any better. But the Lord said, when you are built upon a rock, you are going to be able to stand. What is that rock? The foundation is the Word of God. But it has to be with a feeling that you have. I told you, the brain has a feeling before it has a thought. This is something you feel. This is like a pregnancy. Do you feel the baby when it starts moving? When Elizabeth was pregnant 6 months, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes by and salutes Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, salutes Elizabeth, it said the babe, John the Baptist, in his mother's womb, leaped in her womb for joy. Why the baby leaped? Because the baby had a feeling. You get it? The baby had a feeling. A lot of folks come to church, nothing moves them. You want to know why? Because they don't have a feeling. When you have a feeling, you move. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, I remember that song, Feelings. Everybody used to get up and dance for the song, Feelings. I mean, that's what got you going, wasn't it? Wasn't it a feeling? Are you there or not? I mean, that was a popular song. Everybody's going to dance to Feelings. But you come to church and people lose it. There's no feeling. I got a feeling. You say, how do you know? I didn't go to a fortune teller. I didn't have to talk to someone that died and went on. I talked to someone that died and was resurrected. His name is Jesus. I want to talk to people that are alive. I said, I want to talk to people that are alive. I don't want to talk to someone that's dead. I want to talk to the man that hung on the cross. And 3 days later, the grave couldn't hold him, and he was resurrected. I want to talk to someone that is alive. I live. I live. But yet not I. Isn't that great to know that somebody like radioactive material has taken over on the inside? He said it is the anointing, the Spirit of God that is living within me. Everyone that heareth these sayings in the 26th verse and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. It beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. A lot of people that I've known down through the years, they couldn't make it. I know many that have gone to church and they can't make it. And the reason for it is they didn't have a foundation. When you have a foundation, no matter what happens, I said you're going to stand. Amen. You know, people are under the impression, well, we got a certain limit in life and then get ready to die. Well, that's man's teaching. That ain't the teaching of God. Amen. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. At the age of 65, Enoch's wife had a baby. And here he had a senior citizen card. He was on Medicaid at the age of 65. He was getting ready to go retire in Florida. And his wife has a baby. I mean, that's no way age to have a baby at 65. But it said at 65 years old, he started walking with God. And it said he walked with God for 300 years. Can you say praise the Lord? And then one day he was not, for God took him. That was it. Lived to be 365 years. Job was 70 years old when all his troubles started. But you see, he was built upon a rock. That's what the Lord said to Moses. He says, Moses, I'm going to show you my glory. He said, but you got to stand on the rock to see my glory. You're going to need a foundation to receive this. Job was 70 years old. Who wants problems at the age of 70? Who wants to lose 10 children? He lost 10 children in the book of Job at the age of 70. He lost his business. He lost all his houses. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, why don't you shut your mouth? He said, I was born naked and I'm going to die naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what happened to Job? He lived another 140 years. So he lived to be 210 years old. Because he had a foundation, though he lost everything, he kept on praising the Lord. Go ahead and praise God tonight. My God. I said, though he lost everything, he kept on praising the Lord. People are worried about their reputation. You're worried about your reputation, for the Lord made of himself a no reputation. If Jesus wanted a reputation, he wouldn't have died on the cross. That's what the devil attacks. He attacks your pride. You know what caused Lucifer, who we know as the devil? Pride. Because of pride, he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above God. That's people. Everybody wants to be above the other person, you know. They want more. They want to be better with them. Prejudice in the world. Color. What has color got to do with your life? God made color. And if he made color, he loves color. But people are prejudiced about color. Are you here? Are you getting the massage? Amen. Did God make color, Barry?
He certainly did.
Was there color on Noah's Ark?
Yes. So every family and every color and every nationality started all over again on Noah's Ark.
There were only 8 people on the Ark. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and 3 daughter-in-laws. That's 6, 7, 8 people. And on that ark, there was, how many colors are in the world, Barry?
There's black, there's white, there's yellow, there's red, and of course combinations of them.
Combinations of some. You know what? Give me a mutt. You know a mutt has a better temperament than a pedigree? Come on, pedigrees will bite you. Amen. Pedigrees are high strung. But you get a mutt, you got a friend. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. I said, when you got a mutt, you have a friend. A pedigree's a different temperament, Barry?
It certainly are. Remember back in the old days, little Petey from the Little Rascals? He was a pit bull. But Petey was a pit bull terrier.
Yeah.
He was a bulldog. And he was a great dog. But they began to enter, they just got, if you get too much of one thing, you breed all of the bad things about it.
You're looking at a mutt up here. Can you say hallelujah? You know, there's a lot of preachers that want to be pedigrees. You know, they're going to be above everybody else. Look who we are. We're better than everyone else. Well, I'm a mutt. Amen. So what happened there with Abraham and Lot, Kevin?
Genesis 13 and 7. There was strife.
Strife. This is probably, I mean, when they have prosperity, shouldn't be strife. Now here they got all kinds of money, they got cattle, they're prospering, and what happened?
There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
Everybody say separation brings blessing.
Yes.
He said, I'm not going to fuss with you. He said, I'm not going to argue. You have first choice. When God chooses you, you don't have to worry about anybody getting ahead of you. Let the wind blow. Let the rains come. But the Lord said, not a hair on your hairpiece will perish. You're not going to lose. He said, not a hair will perish. Not a hair on your head will perish. So God is saying, I am keeping you. You don't have to worry. You're going to come out victorious. That's what happened with Job at the age of 70. He lived another 140 years. He lived to be 210. God gave him double of everything that he lost. Can you say hallelujah? Get excited. When the Lord says, in my Father's house are many mansions, he's not talking about when you get to heaven. He's talking about now. He's leading you from victory to victory. You see, in that day of Jesus' day, along the route they had rest stops. Aren't there rest stops when you travel? So that word mansion in my Father's house, he says along the way there's many rest stops. There's times of refreshment for you. There are rest stops in your life. When he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. All right. In my Father's house are many mansions. While we're living here, I looked up that word mansion, and it means rest stops. Everybody say rest stops.
Rest stops.
Amen. Before you get there, you're going to need a little refreshment. Don't you stop on a journey for refreshment? Hello? Isn't that why the fast food places are doing so well? Because it's drive up. Get your refreshments here. And that's what the Lord is saying. He said, along the route, I looked up that word mansions, and it means rest stops. It's not talking about heaven in that instance. He's going to prepare a place for you. Yes, he is. But before you get there, you're going to need some refreshments. You're going to need some strength. Can you say amen? So in that day along the road for the traveler, there were rest stops where they could stop and regain their strength. And that's what the Lord says. I'm going away, but there is going to be rest for you along the way. Can you say hallelujah? You can get a rest stop at White Castle Hamburger.
Yes.
I wish somebody would say praise the Lord. Some people don't even appreciate a White Castle hamburger. This is reality. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
And really, the problem is people can't understand reality. No. Can they understand reality? I mean, who can explain all the planets going around the sun? Can you explain that?
No, they can't figure out where very life comes from.
Yeah, I mean, and some planets have two moons and...
Incredible.
That's reality. You see, people don't want reality. They'd rather have some, you know, preacher get up, you know, and, you know, act like, you know, we're above everybody else, you know. We're so righteous and so holy. They're missing. I don't understand everything about reality, but I know it's real. I pinch myself once in a while and I say, ouch. How many know you're alive? Some people don't even act like they're alive. Hey, this world is real. Say, this world is real. Yeah, and reality, who can explain reality? But, you know, the Word of God says that people will believe a lie and they'll be damned. They'd rather believe a lie. And Hitler said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one, because the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. Is that what he said, Kevin?
It was the Nazi propaganda machine said, tell a big lie and tell it over and over again.
And the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. Tell the truth. And I said, the truth will make you free. Can you say amen? Yeah, Jesus said in John 14, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's on your trip, on your journey. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But before you get to that place, he said, in my Father's house, in your journey in life, there's a lot of rest stops along the way. Can you say hallelujah? You see, right here on Wednesday night is a rest stop. Everybody say, thank God, Pastor.
Thank God, Pastor.
This is a rest stop for you. So you can make it through the rest of the week. Can you say amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. This keeps you from a nervous breakdown. So, Kevin?
Yes.
Where were we?
Genesis 13 and 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. 12th verse, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom.
He pitched his tent toward Sodom, but you know what Abraham did? He built an altar. You know what we're doing here tonight? We're building an altar. We're here worshiping the Lord. Everybody is pitching their tent. You know, that's why they can't make the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, scratching and digging to make a living. You know, who can have the biggest car? Who can have the biggest house? Who can have the most money? Who can be looked up to in life? You getting it? This is what Lot did. He pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah, where the well-watered plains were. What did God say to Abram, Kevin? Lift up your eyes.
Yes, he says, and the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes.
Go ahead.
And look from the place where thou art, north, south, east, and west. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
Go ahead.
And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man...
You know who we are? We're part of that promise that God was given to Abram with that seed. Say, we're the seed.
The seed.
What is he talking about, Abram? He said, I'll make your seed as the dust of the earth. We are that seed that the Lord was telling Abram about. I'll make your seed. Here we are in America. He was over in Canaan land. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless your seed in Massapequa Tabernacle. The Lord sees into the future. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
How many know the Lord sees into the future? He's going to do what with the seed, Kevin?
So I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth.
As the dust of the earth. Go ahead.
So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise.
Arise. I said arise.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and arise tonight. Stand on your feet right
yeah.
now. Arise. Everybody say arise. All right, now you can be seated. So what happened with Abram? With the dust?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He said, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar.
He did what?
Lord. He built there an altar.
He built what?
An altar.
You see, Lot pitched his tent. That's what folks are doing today. Scratching and digging. Got it bigger and better. We need more in life. They're pitching their tent. But it said Abram did what, Kevin?
Says he built there an altar unto the Lord.
He built an altar to the Lord. You know what we're doing here tonight? We're building an altar to the Lord. Offering up sacrifice of praise and sacrifice of thanksgiving. We're establishing ourselves upon the rock. So when the winds blow and when the storms come, I said, we're able to stand. Can you say hallelujah? You see, the storm came to Lot when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Judgment came there. And the Lord says, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. God says, Lot, get out, you and your family. But his wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Once God calls you out, there's no looking back when you're built on the rock. And you say amen. She was cursed because she looked back. And people that look back, there is a curse upon their life. I said, I'm free tonight because I have nothing to look back to. No looking back. So he built an altar?
Yes, Abraham removed his tent. He dwelt in the plain in Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord.
Anything else there?
That's it.
That's it. Everyone say, that's it.